perseverance out there today. It took everyone as a team, you know, and it comes down to winning. You know, winning is the main thing. It will always be the main thing. And it takes what it takes, you know, regardless of how it looks, what you have to go through to get it. You know, we'll grow through this situation and this experience in the game. Win, lose, or draw, we want to grow from every situation. But to be able to stay at it, find a way, stick together, that was pleasing.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of one Jalen Hurts, and yeah, some of the waves they had to ride. Jake Elliott missing a pair of field goals and an extra point, leading just 12-10 about midway through that fourth quarter, not scoring a touchdown until the fourth quarter. But man, another win for the Eagles, and this time against division rival Washington. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Pleased to welcome our friend and Philadelphia radio host, John Kincaid from 97.5 The Fanatic. When you hear Jalen Hurts talk about the adversity they faced and coming out with the win at the end, how would you evaluate this particular win for them?
Well, I realized that Jalen had probably walked through a Dick's Sporting Goods and just wrote down every cliche that's on the T-shirts that they sell, because I have no idea. I have no idea what he says.
It's pleasing.
I really don't. I think I don't get much out of them. It's like fortune cookies, and I can't get it. But what I know, Amy, is that they wake up 8-2, and Jalen has yet to play a complete game. And they still keep winning and doing the things that are putting them in a great position to win this division. And that's always first step. Win the division, guarantee yourself a home game. And that Washington team's spunky, but very much like in the Super Bowl, Dan Quinn makes some really, really strange decisions, and I used to see them firsthand when I was in Atlanta.
Right. So the 4th-and-2.
Oh, my gosh. I can't understand it. Amy, you're the underdog. You're on the road. You got a rookie quarterback. Your team's putting up a spunky, real scrappy effort. You take the lead in the fourth quarter, and the Eagles' offense to that point had put up 12 points.
Mm.
Take the lead 13-12. Give your team another feel-good moment of, hey, we're ahead. And then maybe your defense, maybe they get a turnover. Maybe they do something. I can tell you, Dan Quinn complicates things a lot. And he's got that team playing well, and it's very admirable. But last night, I think he really cost his team a victory by not taking the lead in the fourth quarter. He didn't give them the best chance to win.
And weirdly enough, contrast that aggressive move on 4th-and-2 when you're in field goal range with how they played their touchdown drive, where it felt like large chunks of the clock would dwindle down while they were meandering back up to the line. It didn't seem like there was any sense of urgency on that final touchdown drive.
Well, Amy, it was weird because, you know, back in the day, you know, in Atlanta, I would, you know, listen to Dan Quinn speak on a weekly basis. And he would many times talk about the, you know, strategies of games. And one of the things that he would say, you know, you're on the road, you want to shorten the game. So he would talk about that. So I knew going in last night, okay, they're going to want to take time off the clock. They want to limit possessions. You don't want that Eagles offense to have the more possessions they get, they're just more dangerous. They're
yes.
The top scoring team in the NFL after the second quarter. But honestly, they should just start the Philly game now in the second quarter. Let the other team have a little bit of a lead. Start the game in the second quarter. I have no idea what the scripted plays are that they're putting together, but the scripts are terrible. I mean, it's like a bad episode of Days of Our Lives. I mean, it is like you don't know what's going to come week to week. By the second quarter, it usually gets rolling, and this team's 8-2, and right there in the heels of the Detroit Lions.
You tweeted during the game, I think you weren't the only one, the Eagles might have a kicker problem. Do they? Do they have a kicker problem?
He's missed every 50-yard field goal this year.
Right, he hasn't made one over 50.
That's crazy, 50 yards plus. Jake the Make is his nickname here in town for a reason. It has not been that way this year. And a reliable kicker from 50, you've got to have. And whether it was, I think it was the worst night Jake's ever had as an Eagle. Okay, so that's fine. He never usually misses two field goals, let alone two field goals in a quarter. You never see that happen. But then the extra point, too, I hope he doesn't have the yips. I wouldn't be
oh, no.
shocked if they, yeah, I hope not. I wouldn't be shocked, though, if they started to have a little bit of mild concern about it, though. If you can't have a reliable kicker from 50 in today's game, it is a problem.
at the end of last year and then on into this season with the changing of coordinators, and you and I have had conversations about this.
Sure.
Identity was one of the things the Eagles were lacking. What is their identity now?
Well, they're the number one rushing team. I mean, they're the team that's going to run the ball. Do you know, Amy, they're on pace right now to rush the ball the second most times of any team in NFL history.
Wow.
How about that for you?
That's crazy.
In the modern era. Modern era. So we're talking like the 70s on AFL, NFL together. Okay? So when they merged the two leagues. They're unbelievably the amount of time they're dedicating to running the ball. And what did they do? At the bye week when they were 2-2, you had the offensive line leadership go in. So you had them walk into Nick Sirianni's office and they said, We used to be dominant by the offensive line, and now you've got the offensive line, and we've also got Saquon. Let's use them. And I know our fine listeners in New York, I just want to thank you. It's very rare that one city extends such love to another city, but the decision to let Saquon Barkley go and to let him go to a team in their own division just points to the ineptitude of the Giants. It's horrendous that you would let the individual go and that you would let this talent go, because I got to tell you, Amy, he has taken the town by storm. He's home. He's playing for the team he loved as a kid. And boy, does Philly love him back.
And C.J. Gardner-Johnson saying the same thing in his locker last night. Thank you, New York. You did us a solid. Thank you so much. Props to you.
You didn't hear the crowd after the game on the crowd on Amazon. They had their desk set up down there on the field, and the fans were chanting, "Thank you, New York." They were thanking them. It's very kind of them. You know, it's just a great gesture, and it's a great way to sort of reach across the borders of the state of New Jersey where they're from. I don't know why they're not the New Jersey Giants, but we can get into that another time.
John Kincaid is with us on this edition of After Hours with Amy Lawrence from Philadelphia. They're going to be happy on this Friday as the team rattles off another win. They're now sitting at 8-2, one of the best records in the NFL. So, John, the defense, I thought, did really well against the Commanders, and the Terry McLaurin piece is huge because the top receiver in this game for the Commanders actually wasn't a receiver. It was Austin Ekeler. Then it was Zach Ertz. So what happened to Terry McLaurin?
Terry McLaurin, I don't know if I think he showed up because his name is on the score sheet. We just didn't see him. And that is because the Eagles' young defense, and I mean young, is playing incredibly. And I don't know if you saw the tweet that was put out before the game last night where Reed Blankenship, who got the critical fourth quarter interception, and then Cooper DeJean, the young rock star here in Philadelphia, were showing up to the game with their T-shirt, Exciting Whites. They were, that's their new nickname. These two guys are having a blast. Their teammates love them. And Vic Fangio has come here and created just an energy about the defense. They're playing all the kids. They have such a young side of the ball now. And with an offense that is star-loaded and still finding their way, somehow Vic Fangio is making chicken salad out of what a lot of people thought was something different. And it's incredible because the Miami Dolphins were too emotionally fragile to handle the toughness of a Vic Fangio. And all the Georgia guys on this Eagles defense that are now having great years, like N'Kobe Dean and Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith, they all rave about the fact that they're getting tough coaching because that's what they came from. They came from in-your-face, tough, demanding coaching, and they're thriving because of it. This guy has made a huge impact. Kellen Moore, not so much. Not so much. We're not really seeing what Kellen's up to because, again, his scripts are terrible. I mean, it's pretty bad.
So then 1-for-2 on the coordinators. I know we've talked about Nick Sirianni. Would you say that the start of this season, now granted they fell off the map at the end of the last season,
sure.
Would you say the start of this season has maybe turned down the heat under Sirianni?
Oh, it most certainly has. I mean, he's done a really nice job. And I think the fact, too, is, Amy, it's like anybody in any walk of life. If what you are doing and what you're trying to do isn't working, you better be listening. You better be listening to people that are trying to tell you this is what needs to be done. Sirianni has shown that he can learn and he can listen. Now, let me just tell you, he is, honestly, he's one step from the cuckoo's nest. I mean, he is just, I mean, there's a straitjacket somewhere with his name on it.
Yeah.
There's at some point, we're going to have another one of his major meltdowns where he's going to bring his kids to the post-game press conference, or he's going to shave his head like he's in Taxi Driver, or he's going to like do something nuts, because it's just who he is. But his teams really enjoy playing for him. And that's pretty uniform. They enjoy him. They come to work for him, and they support him every opportunity they have behind a microphone.
So you no longer believe there's an issue between he and Jalen?
Let's put it this way. Do I think they're doing the 2 for $15 appetizer at Applebee's? Nah, I don't. I don't. I believe that they're making nice publicly. I don't believe either guy is each other's kind of guy. But their communication has been impeccable since the bye week. I think they actually both men have worked on it. And I always believed, and I think I've said this to you before, the problem was more Hurts with Sirianni than the opposite.
Hmm.
Jalen's a guy who played for Nick Saban, and he played for his father as a football coach. And then you get Nick Sirianni, and honestly, he's like the goofy neighbor on any sitcom. He's just like the guy who's going to walk in the door and you don't know what he's going to say, because you never know with Nick Sirianni. Mm. And I think they're just not each other's type of guys. But they're finding a way to make it work, and I credit both men for that.
Winning cures a lot of those personality conflicts,
really
to be
does.
Sure. Yeah,
sure
it definitely does. Okay, so a couple of questions that have nothing to do with football. But since you and I are allies, I'm going to just go ahead and admit I made the major office gaffe on Thursday afternoon. I did a reply all with my holiday schedule. So it went it went out to about, I don't know, 80, 90 people. And it took me 30 seconds. I started getting some of those server responses back. Like, this email no longer active. And I thought,
and
what
like,
the heck?
Oh,
mortified.
People, now, here's what I want to know. And being part of that organization in the past, I want to know how many people, because I would have emailed you back and mocked you. For
yeah.
It.
Oh, I got a
so
few
I
of those.
I mocked you for it. You did.
I did.
Those are the people that you know deep down love you. They're the people that will take the time to mock their sister. If they didn't, the people who don't mock you, they don't care about you enough.
Let's hope they didn't
read
it.
People who want to roast you, they want to do that. Now everybody knows your schedule now.
Yes,
so that's good.
Right.
So now everybody can breathe. Everybody can relax. Around, you know, the stock price isn't going to crash or anything. No. Now they can plan accordingly. Wall Street knows now. This is good.
Mm,
it's good.
Right.
We know that.
Yeah.
Come
I mean, it's a little bit embarrassing.
Email,
as though,
hit
as though.
Right button, for God's sake. Married life has melted your head.
That's true.
You.
Naps are a
you
thing
were
of the past.
More together.
Exactly.
You were much more together.
Agreed.
As a single woman.
Yes, I slept more as a single woman. I don't sleep much anymore. Naps have completely gone by the wayside.
Hey, now that's another topic.
All right. All right.
That's a little.
I should have known.
This is after dark. With I'm telling you. It is. Woo!
Okay.
Love to hear that.
Only you, John Kincaid. One more thing. What do you remember about this time last year and where you were and what you were doing?
I was waiting for the word that I was cancer-free after my final chemotherapy treatments, and I'm thrilled that this week I got the word that I went through a battery of tests the last 3 weeks. I've been like a lab rat. And I am proud to say that my bones are clear, my lymphatic system's clear, my blood is clear. I am cancer free, and I thank everybody who sent prayers my way and supported me and everything like that, because it's a huge relief. And honestly, I realize that I consider myself very mentally tough, and it's weird, but I like this. All this testing, waiting for them all to come back, was honestly the most stressed and the most anxiety I've ever felt in my whole life.
Wow.
And so I thank everybody in their lives that props up people when they need to be propped up. And I love them all for it.
Mm.
So
well,
it's great. Now I can just get back to being ornery on the radio.
Uncomfortable radio.
And on, by the way, 2 hours, 43 minutes sleep. So I just
because you went to the game. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, by the time I got out, and traffic in Philadelphia, whoever drew up the stadium complex exit traffic, it was on the back of a drunken cocktail napkin because it took forever to get out last night.
Watch out. John Kincaid is happy. John Kincaid is on his game. He's taking aim. So just beware. It's ready, aim, fire on this edition of the show. You can find him online at John Kincaid and 97.5 The Fanatic getting set for his show coming up in 20 minutes. It's the best news I heard all week, my friend. I love you tons. I'm so glad that you got this amazing news.
And I love Pete. Take care, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, John.
Thanks, guys.